Tappers. Hi. What's going on? How are we doing? It is December 31st. It is the last Daily Tap of 2018. Hope everybody's doing well. Good to be back. It feels like a long time. It's been 8 days. It feels like it's been 100 days. It's been a while since I've talked to you guys. I'm really excited to be doing this podcast with y'all and to be giving you the hot fire once again. So probably a lot of you are wondering where I've been. I made the comment on, I think, the weekend watch list. I was like, we're not going to be one of those podcasts who puts up a best of and goes away for a couple weeks. I was like, that's not who we're going to be. That's not us. We're not going to do that shit. And then look at what we become. So maybe we're a real podcast. Maybe we're an actual legitimate podcast that actually has that sort of vibe to it. No, not really. Here's what happened. To give you a very short version of it. I was going to do a podcast on Christmas Eve. Had a pocket. I woke up with a pretty bad cough. Just was very kind of under the weather a little bit. And that's kind of the theme of this week. So then I wasn't going to do it on Christmas. I had planned that. There wasn't any sports really happening. No real news. There was nothing really to talk about on that day. So it was like that was a clear day off. Got back at it. Then my girlfriend got sick with the flu. That disabled the podcast studio. Also, like, I could have done it on my phone, but it just, I don't know, man. There wasn't much to talk about. I was more worried about taking care of her. Thursday was probably the best day. But again, the podcast room was contaminated. I had limited areas of where to tape and when to tape. If I actually had like a full house, like a normal person, not just a flat, I think I would have actually been able to get these podcasts off, but I wasn't. Then on Friday, I got knocked out with the flu myself. Saturday was still sort of in the recovery mode, was still in the incubator. Now it's been a while, but we're back. We're finally back. I'm taping this Sunday into Monday night. Obviously running on Monday. We're going to just talk about everything. This isn't going to be your typical Daily Tap where it's 20 minutes and you're done. It might be. You never know. Sometimes when I say it's going to be a long podcast, I sometimes just shuffle through things and it doesn't end up as long as I think it was. But I do expect this one to be a longer than usual podcast. We're going to talk about the Packers. We're going to talk about the Bucks. We'll talk a little college basketball, Marquette, then Wisconsin. And then we'll wrap up with a little bit of New Year's resolutions, as well as talk about, you know, what we've missed this week, anything that's happened in that sort of time frame, and then get on out of here. I do not know if we'll have a podcast tomorrow. Kind of similar, not much is happening. I would love to do one. We'll see how my hangover is. I'm trying not to go too hard tomorrow. Like, first of all, I'm still kind of recovering. Like, I'm not fully back. I would say that if you were to have me in a DraftKings lineup, I'd be probable with likely to play. But at the same time, I'm still not there. And I also, too, like, I was out with all my boys, like, a week ago. And not to say, this sounds like such a hardo thing to say, but, like, we just went really fucking hard. Like, I had a New Year's Day hangover, like, two Saturdays ago. And, like, I feel like when you do that, and you've kind of already had your New Year's. Like, not to say we peaked, but, like, we didn't need, like, the glitz and glam of New Year's to make it happen. Like, I ended up on the floor, passed out. Not proud of that, by the way, but it did happen, you know. So, let the record show. It happened. I'm not proud of it, though. As 30 years old, I'm like, that's bad. But to my defense, I'm one of those people who when I'm really drunk and I whenever I sit, I'm done. Like whenever I sit and I was cleaning something up and I must have just sat down and I just went over like a tea kettle, just Humpty Dumpty fucking fell, like just toppled over and boom, I was out. So yeah, not a proud moment for your boy, but you know what? We respond. We get back up. We go at it. So maybe out tomorrow. We'll see. We'll see. And I hope to get a podcast out because we might have some Black Monday news on Packer assistants who apparently are going to stay. And we'll get into the Packers right now. So the Green Bay Packers got embarrassed by the Detroit Lions. Aaron Rodgers got evaluated for concussion, said that he has a concussion. There will be some fans who say, well, did he really have a concussion, or are they just saying this so that they could escape all the sort of criticism and noise and whatever, and that he shouldn't have really been out there? Because it was 14-0, and the white flag got raised. DeShone Kizer did okay. It's DeShone Kizer. I feel bad for the fans who paid for the game. I got an offer to go a few weeks ago. Shout out to my boy Shaq for the offer. I said I appreciate it, but I've been to 2 December games already, or I was at a December game. I didn't need to go to a second one. I'm very grateful that I did not take him up on that offer. First of all, I don't even know if I could have made it with just the way I've been feeling the last couple of days. But secondly, oh my God, I don't know if I could go back after witnessing that kind of carnage at Lambeau Field. It was really bad. And we're not going to talk much about the game because there's really nothing to really talk about. Pat McAfee, I thought, was perfect for that type of game. I don't think Pat McAfee is a premier color commentator, but he's a great guy to have. He, to me, is what the Dick Stockton, Mark Schlereth game should be. Like, Mark Schlereth, actually kind of a funny guy. He's good on, if you listen to Part of My Take, he's good on those kind of podcasts. Like, Schlereth and McAfee with a young broadcaster would be perfect for a low-tier game. Like, there is no reason Dick Stockton should still be getting NFL games in 2019. The guy is going to die in the booth. I swear to Christ. Like, he is going to die. We do not need that kind of blood on our hands. I feel like the only reason we didn't get Dick Stockton is because they worried he'd freeze in the booth. That was always the fear. Moving on, I think with the Packers, the question now is where will they go with the head coaching search? There is some noise already happening. There was rumors they're going to contact Pat Fitzgerald. While we were on our hiatus, they talked to Jim Caldwell and Chuck Pagano. I actually wrote a little, didn't write much over the break, but I did write that you shouldn't freak out about that. That really isn't a worry that they interviewed a couple guys, picked their brains. Remember, Caldwell is a quarterback's guy. Probably ask him a lot of questions about how you coach Aaron Rodgers. Chuck Pagano is a defensive guy, but he's a secondaries coach. How would you fix some of the secondary issues? How do you get involved with young secondary? What do you do there? I think that's the kind of things that they were asking those guys. Not necessarily like, we think you really have a legitimate shot at the head coach. So if you say that apparently there's a list of 12, and now we've identified 3 more candidates, Pat Fitzgerald, who's apparently not interested. He's like, go Cats, doing the Pat Fitzgerald thing. I really don't want Pat Fitzgerald. I want no part of Pat Fitzgerald. Pat Fitzgerald's a good college coach. It's where he should stay. I think it would be Greg Schiano, the sequel, if we're being honest. Number 2, Brian Flores, who's the de facto defensive coordinator for the Patriots. And I'd ask you, did the Lions just try out with Matt Patricia? But that could be the reason they could be interviewing Brian Flores is not because they want to hire Brian Flores. Maybe they want to hire Brian Flores, but maybe as the defensive coordinator to work with Josh McDaniels. So Josh McDaniels is also in the crosshairs. People are saying he is the overwhelming favorite. There is a lot of smoke right now. He is the lead dog without question. So the question is can you warm up to the fact of Josh McDaniels, the head coach? The guy's a prick. There's no other way to say it. I mean, we can, any which way, he's not a friendly guy. He rubs people the wrong way. The guy is kind of like sandpaper. He is not the fuzziest and nicest coach in the building. And I think some of the reasons the Packers like Philbin is because Philbin was very much that warm, fuzzy, kind of grandpa-y type coach. Now, McDaniel certainly isn't. And we've heard about the Patriot way, and we've heard about how things will change. And if you're working under a Patriots regime, they expect it to go a certain way. Now, we've seen Patriots guys fail time and again, but I'd point to Bill O'Brien. Granted, I don't think Bill O'Brien is the greatest coach, but Bill O'Brien took an 0-3 Texans team, a guy who is on the hot seat in late September, and they are the 3 seed in the AFC. And they could have, with one or two, they didn't misstep against the Eagles. they're the bye. I mean, they are the second team. They are in the second game as the bye, and the Colts and Patriots are playing each other in the round one, in the wild card round, not the Texans. So I really do think that this whole narrative about Patriots coaches might be dead when you get the right ones. And Josh McDaniels, I think Josh McDaniels is a great offensive coach. I think Josh McDaniels has done some great things with Tom Brady. He completely changed the offense to being a run-first attack here at the end of the year. And then, oh, lo and behold, he made Tom Brady look more rejuvenated than he's looked all year, granted against the hapless Jets team who knew their coach was getting fired. But still, McDaniels made that guy look a lot better than he was, you know, and he did a great job. And so the fact of the matter is McDaniels, the coach, is fine. McDaniels, the personality, there's just a lot left to be desired. And I know you can't have your cake and eat it too. And sometimes you have to swallow that poison pill. And the reports about how McDaniels and Gutekunst worked together or were paired together in San Francisco, there was a lot of thoughts that those two were going to start together and work together, and that was going to be the relationship going forward. It didn't happen that way. But so to me, what that makes me wonder, at least, is that there was obviously a relationship forged by Gutekunst and McDaniels, and that Gutekunst knows how to work with McDaniels. And that's where I'll put a little faith in Brian. And I don't think enough people are doing that with their McDaniels hate. I've been one to say I think he's a snake. I don't think he's a great guy. I'd have extreme concerns, too, that if Bill Belichick retired in the next 3 or 4 years, that he would just bolt to New England. Now, granted, coaches are under contract. The Patriots would have to probably trade for McDaniels. But, you know, there would be a lot of worry if Belichick retired in the next 5 years and the Packers are all doing it all over again. Now, you could argue maybe Aaron Rodgers plays for 5 more years. Maybe then McDaniel's contract might go till Aaron Rodgers goes out. And I'm sure, and now they've said, Aaron Rodgers has not been involved in conversations. I'm sure there are conversations being had with Aaron Rodgers about Josh McDaniels. And I know that while Brady and McDaniels have had disputes on sidelines, they're both fiery dudes, and Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, kind of friends. Like, they've been pictured together at Kentucky Derbies. I wouldn't say that they're like bros for life or anything like that, but I know that I'm sure that there's been some conversations had with Brady and Rodgers. There just has to be about, hey, I just kind of want to know what kind of coach Josh is. What do you think of Josh? What do you like about Josh? What do you not like about Josh? Aaron Rodgers is way too cerebral to not have those conversations. Josh McDaniels would be the first coach in a long, long time who would not come from the Packers tree. There is nothing from the tree that would say Josh McDaniels. I would not want Brian Flores as my defensive coordinator. I don't hope that he actually would consider Mike Patton. I know some people are like, you know what? This whole team needs to leave. Everyone needs to leave and just get the fuck out. I do think that McDaniels would clear house in a lot of ways. I think he would get his own quarterback's coach. He might be his own quarterback. He might not even bring a quarterback's coach in. He might be the quarterback's coach. He might be the offensive coordinator. And that's that. I will say this about McDaniels, they have the best offensive line coach in football. His name is Dane, and I can't pronounce his last name, and it's a bad Big J move on my behalf. Dane Saldamecchia. I don't know. But anyways, very Italian man from Boston. He has really only coached Patriots. He's a hell of a coach. I do think that goes a long way. So I know the coaching staff will be vital for the Packers. No question about it. Also, too, this is kind of a side note. We have to stop with the fucking memes about if you can't like the Packers now or then, you can't like the Packers now. I've seen that all over Instagram. You guys are the fucking worst. I fucking hate these people. These people, some of these people, and like all due respect, if you have a Packers Instagram page, like great, good for you. I try to follow back when someone follows me who has a fan run account. But don't get in my DMs when I follow you first and say, like, hey, I'd love it if you promoted my designs. Dude, fuck you. I'm not going to promote your designs if you don't follow me back. Like, come on. But those people who are creating those memes fucking suck. And you suck. And I hope that if you have created one of those memes or shared one of those memes, that you feel a great deal of shame, like a cone of shame that you got your balls taken out because you're a dog. That's kind of how I want you to feel. Like, I would put a big cone around your fucking head. That is exactly what I would do. All right, sorry. I had to get that off my chest. That's been eating at me for at least a fucking week. So, you know, sometimes that's what happens when you don't podcast for a while. Things just get saved in the chamber and you just start exploding. It's a lot like when you haven't come in a while. It's like you just need to just get it all out. Like, you just need to just go at it to town. All right, too much information. But, yes, so now we're on to the offseason. We will see how the Packers do. We'll talk about the playoffs later this week, I'm sure. I don't think Mitch and I are going to do tapping the keg this week, but we'll talk about the playoffs on the weekend watch list. Be a perfect time for that. It's sad to see the Minnesota Vikings not get in the playoffs. You just hate to see that. You hate to see the Minnesota Vikings miss the playoffs. Rick Spielman could get fired. That would be a damn shame. Everybody's pointing the finger, but not at Mike Zimmer. I literally do not know how Mike Zimmer is Teflon. And good luck, new GM, trying to work with Mike Zimmer. That guy is about as prickly as a porcupine. Like, seriously. Oh, yeah, he cut Daniel Carlson, who, remember, had the classic fuck-up at Lambeau. He went 0-for-3. They drafted him in the fifth round. Oh, by the way, he was 16-for-17 for the Raiders. He had a 90% clip. He broke Sebastian Janikowski's record from a field goal percentage perspective as a rookie. So they found a star. Gruden found a star in Carlson as a kicker. Good job, Vikings. I'm sure you could have used him instead of paying Dan Bailey. They paid Dan Bailey like $2 million. But, yeah, tough to see the Packers season roll out like that. But at least the Vikings are joining us on the couch. They're joining us on the fishing boat, not the love boat. Don't get too excited, Vikings fans. But, yes, they are joining us. And now we can all root against the Bears, who I was happy they got the win. I was bearing down today. But, yes, they play the Eagles. Should be a fun game. Bears-Eagles. NBC game on Sunday afternoon. Weird thing that they're doing. Fox getting the primetime game. That was definitely a little extra happy ending from the NFL for saying, hey, thanks for taking on that Thursday package. We really appreciate it. So I will do a little rooting guide probably on the blogs today or tomorrow. That's always a favorite blog of mine. I really will probably tell you, spoiler alert, we're going to cheer for probably the Rams, and then I'm not going to cheer for the Texans. I can't. I was going to say Texans, probably the Chiefs. I don't know. We'll see. I'll have it unveiled sooner rather than later. We'll get it out there. Promise. Keep me to it. But we'll talk more Packers as the week goes on. Moving on to the Bucks. The Bucks have the best record in the NBA. Yes, that is an actual thing that is happening right now. The Bucks took it over on Friday after they had beat the New York Knicks and dealt with that fuckboy Enes Kanter. It was a week for fuckboys for the Milwaukee Bucks. Like, the Milwaukee Bucks definitely are starting to get that contender vibe because the haters are coming out. Like, Enes Kanter. Then there's Ryan Hollins, premier fuckboy, number one fuckboy in the building right now. We won't drop any clue bombs for Ryan Hollins. Like, that guy stinks. He has the wispiest mustache. It looks like he just got done eating ass, like a dirty ass. Like, that's what his mustache looks like. But, you know, he had all the slander about Giannis, and he had to be the first guy to hate against Giannis. Like, everyone has been riding Giannis. Everybody has been sort of on Giannis as the MVP, and Ryan Hollins had to be like, he's not clutch, forgetting the fact that the fact is that the Bucks have not really been in a lot of close games this year. They have the largest winning percentage or margin of victory of any team in the NBA right now. But don't tell Ryan Hollins that. And then Ryan Hollins tried to screenshot some stats and said, oh, should Kemba Walker be the MVP because he had the most clutch stats? Hornets have been in so many close games this year, bro. Like, how do you not get this through your fucking head? But enough about Ryan Hollins. Bucks are playing well. They've won 6 of their last 7, 7 of their last 8. They're rolling right now. They get Detroit on Tuesday night back in, it's in Milwaukee. Detroit is not very good on the road this year. They've struggled mightily. They lost to the Magic today on a buzzer beater by Evan Fournier, a.k.a. don't Google. Seriously, don't Google Fournier. You won't do it to yourself. Don't do it. I know you're at home, but do not do it. Promise. You won't like the results. If you do it, it's your fault. Remember, this podcast told you not to do it. So you have that. You have that going. You also have the fact that they get the Hawks, and then they get a big back-to-back matchup with the Raptors. Don't be surprised if they sit Giannis for that Hawks game. I wouldn't be shocked if they want a fully rested team for that Raptors game on Saturday night at the BC, or not at the BC, at the Fiserv Forum. I've said the BC for so long, but at the Fiserv Forum, it should be an awesome matchup. Definitely a must-see watch. It is a premier bar-watching night next Saturday night. You have the NFL playoffs, and you have Bucks-Raptors. And yes, all of your attention should be on Bucks-Raptors, without question. It's just neat. Next week is probably one of my weekend is one of my favorite weekends of the year. And to add a Bucks-Raptors game into the mix is the cherry on that fucking Sunday. It's beautiful. I don't really have any real complaints with the Bucks right now. I mean, the DJ Wilson unsung hero thing continues to be awesome. It blew our Bulls fan Mike's brain away. He's like, DJ Wilson's getting minutes? And we're like, yeah. Mitch and I are like, where the fuck have you been, dude? Like, DJ Wilson's getting his. He'd be a starter on the fucking Bulls right now. Like, DJ has been awesome. There's not much more you can say about him. The guy's going to probably play in the rookie second year game. Like, I really think that's going to happen this year. Like, he's playing that good, guys. DJ has been awesome. Sterling Brown, too, has been really good. John Horace, man, I've said it before, Johnny Horace continues to just be awesome. And the Bucks, Chris Middleton broke out of his slump. He's feeling good. Brooke Lopez was great against Brooklyn as well. I just really liked a lot of the things I saw from the Bucks. They did not lull into that game. They just pedaled to the metal. And now you get New Year's Day. It is a home game. I'm a little worried about. Not worried. If it was earlier, I'd be a little worried. But I think the Bucks should handle their biz and be all right on New Year's Day against the Detroit Pistons. We'll talk about it on Wednesday, aka one of the worst days of the year. Back to the work week. Moving to the college section, I just want to spend a little bit just vibing on Marquette and Wisconsin. Marquette beat Buffalo. I didn't get a chance to really talk about that. And Marcus Howard's 45 points. And Marcus Howard definitely should be getting some love for National Player of the Year. It really hasn't been a discussion yet. But I think if Marcus Howard continues the way he's doing it, he's incredible. He might be the best scorer in Marquette history. I mean, the perspective of where Marcus Howard is as a scorer right now for Marquette is incredible. And if you are someone who does not watch college basketball, I would recommend watching Marquette. Because Marcus Howard is Steph Curry-like. Like, the Steph Curry comparison is fair for Marcus Howard. It really is. He is that much of a microwave. When he gets hot, it is very similar to what we saw from Steph Curry. He's perfected the step back three. His step back three is lethal. It is one of the best moves in college basketball. It is making Marquette a legitimate contender. Why CBS Sports continues to shit on Marquette, I do not know. I cannot answer that question for you. But Marquette is looking like a top contender, if not the contender for the Big East title, at least right now. Their defense is solid. It's the best defense Wojo has had. This offense is good. They have a very tough test against St. John's coming up here on Tuesday, headed to St. John's on New Year's night. Also, great night of hoops, by the way. You don't even need college football. You have Marquette and you have the Bucks on New Year's night. I am very weary of that game. When I did the T-rank preseason sort of picks, I picked that as a loss for Marquette. I just do not see it working out for them. And then you add to the fact that St. John's lost on a controversial buzzer beater to Seton Hall. My friend Mach, older Mach, brother Mach, I don't know, because I have two Machs in my life. The Mach family, if you're listening to this, please give me proper pronunciation. Big Mach and Little Mach. That would be kind of counterproductive, though. I don't know. I'm confused. You guys can tell I haven't done a podcast in a while. I'm just antsy. Just giddy. Like I said, just getting off shots. But anyways, I would say that he brought up the point that, you know, they might come out pissed off and wanting to make a statement and everything like that. I could definitely see it. And I guess from my perspective of St. John's, and now, again, I picked this as a loss early in the preseason before I knew what Marquette was. I'll say this about St. John's. St. John's has all the makings of that team who played nobody in the non-conference, and you have to at least beat somebody good before I can start believing in that you are actually a good basketball team. If I don't see that, I don't know if I can really buy in. So I will lean Marquette because of that. I will say this. KenPom had a nice stat tonight. Home teams in conference are only 30-27. That's a little surprising to me. Home court is not what it used to be in college basketball. It is fading. It is a dying art. And I think that's something, you know, you have to consider. At least makes you feel a tinge better about Marquette maybe on Tuesday night. As for the Badgers suffered one on the chin. They lose to Western Kentucky. A lot of angst about that game. Brad Davidson came out and said, you know, hey, this was their Super Bowl. Good for them. They were taunting, jeering Brad Davidson. I got to say something to Brad Davidson, and you guys know I'm not a big fan of Brad Davidson, but I'm going to say this as a level-headed podcaster. Brad Davidson needs to grow the fuck up. Brad Davidson needs to just realize that he's a villain. Whether he likes it or not, he is a villain. Why is he a villain? Because he takes charges. He shows emotion. He is Caucasian. He has a look to him as an Aaron Kraft, as a J.J. Redick. I'm sorry that that's a thing, but it is, unfortunately. And Brad Davidson needs to understand that he is a heel, and he needs to embrace that heel and not give in to the media. Because guess what? When you tell the media things like this, guess what? The university, I think they're at Minnesota this week. I could be wrong. I'll have to look that up. But regardless, the next home game and the next road game that you have, you are going to be taunted even more. Because all of a sudden, everybody knows that you can get under your skin. Even though he had a great game, he had 26 points. He played really well. But still, they can get under his skin. They're home to play Minnesota. They're at Penn State on next Sunday. But everyone kind of knows. So the next brutal road game for them is Maryland on a couple Mondays from now. That's a place that will get under your skin. Michigan later in the year. That's a place that will try to get under your skin. Nebraska, Indiana, Northwestern, all those schools, Ohio State late in the year, all those places are going to try to get under your skin and try to make you feel less of yourself. And I hope that Badger fans are not saying like, hell yeah, go Brad Davidson. Like, I really hope that a lot of you are sort of sitting here like, dude, like, do not give in to this. Do not necessarily just give everybody what they want. Do your thing. Like, you had a great game tonight. Like, just have that. Rest on your laurels a little bit. Instead of, you know, just trying to get out there and get in front of it. Yes, did Barry Alvarez screw your basketball team by scheduling a true non-conference road game? Yeah. He fucked you guys over because they were able to cut a less of a check. And Barry Alvarez should be hung out to dry for that. And yet he won't be, because guess what? He rules Madison. He is the king of Madison. There is not going to be one broadcaster. Mike Heller isn't going to say shit about Barry Alvarez. Jeff Patricus isn't going to say shit about Barry Alvarez. Tom Oates certainly isn't going to say anything. None of the Madison reporters are going to have the gumption to step up to Barry Alvarez and say, why did you screw the Badgers out of a victory? That should have really been the question. But no one will, because everyone is ruled under the iron thumb of Barry Alvarez. And so I understand that Davidson's mad. But the person Davidson should be mad at is his athletic director that even let this game happen. So don't get mad at the fans, Brad. Get mad at your AD, dude. All right, that'll do it for the Wisconsin kind of recap. Other things we missed, we missed the fact that the college football playoff was kind of a dud. Clemson just rolled Notre Dame. I bet Notre Dame like a goddamn idiot. Then we had Alabama, Oklahoma. Oklahoma or Alabama won 45-34. It was closer than it looked. Alabama jumped out 28-0. If Oklahoma did not play with a tight butt, they might have actually had a shot in this game. But Oklahoma came out with the lemon booty, and they were puckered. And once they got settled in, it was fine. I mean, you really look at that game. I mean, not to spin zone it, but it's like after that play, Alabama, what, scored? It was 35-14 the rest of the way. I mean, I don't know. I didn't come away that game saying, like, Alabama's this juggernaut. I think Clemson looked just as good as Alabama. I think that game, it was 6.5 as the early line. I'm like, no way. That should be around 3. And I still kind of like Clemson. And you don't get rich betting against Alabama. But that Clemson team, man, they were fearless. Their pass rush, I don't know if Tua with that ankle, he still seemed pretty concerned about that ankle. Like, that ankle is not healthy at all. Oh, and also, too, that low-key, oh, we only give this surgery to Alabama people? What the fuck is that about? Crazy. No other real bowl. I mean, Badgers got it done in the bowl games. They forced the retirement on Mark Rick. A good note for the Badgers to sort of leave on Jonathan Taylor, ripping through one of the best rush defenses in the country. Taylor just went off. He had 211 yards. Just an absolutely dominating performance by Jonathan Taylor. He will be at the top of the Heisman contender list. Once again, obviously it's going to be tough next year with Tua, and we'll see if he'll be able to break through. He's going to need an amazing year. Taylor's going to be neat. I think if I'm Jonathan Taylor, the thing I'm working on is I am just, me and a jugs machine are best friends, and I am just catching passes all fucking off season like that. I'm taking a few weeks off, getting my body right, and then I'm just catching passes the entire off season, the entire spring ball. That's all I'm doing, is just catching passes. The guy needs to become a pass catcher. If he becomes a pass catcher next year, he is going to be a first round draft pick without question. But because he has none of that, I mean, granted, Sony Michel did get a first round pick, even though he wasn't really a pass catcher. I still don't think Taylor would be a first rounder. He'll be a second rounder or a third rounder without question, especially after what Melvin Gordon is doing, for the Chargers. I think that there will be a lot of love to get Jonathan Taylor the next. He's a different ball player than Melvin Gordon. And Melvin Gordon, again, he was more versatile. Taylor has to show some of that versatility to get it really accomplished there. So that does it. New Year's resolutions, I don't know. I'm just going to try to keep bringing you that fire. I do want to get a graphic designer to do some work on our SnowTap colors, SnowTap logo. If you know anybody, hit me up. If you want to do it, if you're a graphic designer, if you just freelance and you want to do it, I will pay. We're not talking about free. This will be a paid job. I'm not going to mix anything about it. We will cut that check. We will drop that bag. Shout out to One Shining Pot. We'll give you that money. So there is that. Also, too, I want to do more SnowTap weekend work. I'm sorry that we don't blog as much as we should on the weekends. It's tough. That's that media of I'm not making money. So when I'm just on my computer in front of my girlfriend, it's tough luck, right? Because she's like, well, why aren't you paying attention to me? And I'm like, I don't know, because I'm vlogging. I'm having a good time. But no, seriously. But yes, we're going to try to do more weekend work. We'll keep trying to give you that fire. Also, too, January could be a little weird because your boy's trying to work out in the morning like all the time now. And so that's going to require me to have a totally different schedule. So I'm going to work with that, but we'll be fine. I promise. So don't fear, Tappers. I got your back. All right. Well, that does it. I will ask you to stay safe tonight. I may be around the Shorewood area. Can't confirm that. Can't deny that. I also might find myself a Nomad. Might find myself a Joe Katz. Those are two spots where you can always find me. If you do find me, I've said this a million times, I will buy you a beer. I won't even just buy a cheap beer. I'll buy you a craft beer. Buy you whatever fucking beer you want. But I'll buy you a beer. All right, guys. Take care. Stay safe. Don't do anything I want to do. Don't pass out on the floor and have your girlfriend find you. Trust me. It does not work out for you. All right. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.